Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We are off and running for the second full week of December as 2016 limps and crawls and creeps and oozes toward its miserable end. It is the 12th day of December, 2016. 12-12-2016. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that, of course, is where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room. Where you will find waiting for you, Anatole, Jugapunch, Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who being a third stage guild navigator and it being a little bit sunny in Northern California this afternoon, well, he's folded space to become Man Cave. Yes, yes, indeed. And, of course, to get into the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room, you just click on chat room, you pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you go in, you behave yourself within a certain degree of reason. Although it is a madcap, merry, multimedia, zany extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which the program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We are beginning a brand new week, and it's a brand new week of listener-supported radio. No ads here. Sorry, we're not... Big Bad Vladdy Daddy hasn't sent a check, even though I have been recently accused of spreading propaganda. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, no. Big Bad Vladdy Daddy hasn't written a check. George Soros hasn't written a check. The Koch brothers haven't written a check. Well, I guess that's how they got to be gazillionaires. Not writing checks. I mean, kind of like the incoming governor of West Virginia, Jim Justice. He doesn't write checks either. I wouldn't expect him to. I mean, he's a coal billionaire. But it's not just that he's not writing checks to the Horn. He doesn't write checks to state governments to whom he owes, you know, lots in taxes. And he stiffs his contractors and things like that. Right, right. But anyway, no, the people who keep this on the air are, simply put, you. You. You know, on Friday, we closed out the evening with a deficit for last week. And I want to send out special thanks to our subscribers. Folks like Mark and Charlene and Christopher and Angelica and Snork to probably our longest-term subscriber of them all, Tony, out in Chico, to John, to Brendan. Thank you very kindly to Dennis, who is right up there among our longest-term subscribers. To Ralphs, and to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you very, very, very much. And to Jay Joshua. as well as to Randy, to Judy, to Jay Cruzen, to Don, to Reggie, and to Jim in Louisiana Stan. Thank you, one and all. You're the reason that we're able to start, you know, with only a $220 fundraising goal this evening, because you helped make up the shortfall over the course of the weekend. So that's good news. We've only got $220 to raise. That's 10 at 22, 22 at 10, 1 at 220, 2 at 110, 4 at 55, 8 at 2750. And then the ciphering in my brain goes a little bit sideways. But thank you, one and all, to our subscribers. And a reminder, there's only 3 days left in our dear friend Joan in Talibandiana's challenge. She's offering to double every new subscriber's first month subscription between now and the 15th. And frankly, right now, Joan's not going to have a lot of doubling to do. And we badly need subscribers, because they're the ones who get us over the hump when things don't quite get us where we need to be. When we wind up in a shortfall. So, if you would like to be a subscriber, just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, and then click the little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation. And then you fill out the fields, you get to the next screen, you decide, does it come out of your PayPal, does it come out of a credit card, whatever, checking account, and you're off and running. And you will be a part of maintaining independent media in this country. Truly independent media. And thanks, by the way, very kindly to Larry. Thank you, Larry. That means that I need to recalculate. We have $214 to go in fundraising this evening. Thank you, Larry. Thank you very kindly. That's how we knock it down a little bit at a time. Because this really is independent media. We don't break for commercials. We don't. We are not compromised by the need to self-censor for fear of pissing off the people over at Bose in case they don't like something we say and they pull their Wave radio contract or somehow getting under the skin of blindswhatever.com. And nope. And we don't have to worry about pissing off the executives at General Steel Buildings or Lumber Liquidators. No, sorry, Steve from Georgia Stan wants to know, any silver for sale, Bob? Nope. Fresh out. And don't need you to buy any gold either. Just need to support independent, progressive broadcasting. Now, if you prefer, and this is the last part, and then we'll move on. We're done with the housekeeping. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, and some people do, then Boss Man Wayne handles that side of things. And all you need to do is send a check or a money order made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid, I never see it, to, the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV25801. Let me know if you're going to do that. I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck, and, you know, he can just take a little bit of that good old-fashioned zinc galvanized plumbing pipe with him when he goes to pick up the mail in case he runs into a member of the Klan, the Kleagle or the Klaxon or the because they get their mail there too at the UPS store. Hey, here's an interesting fact. Do you know what the name of the organizing book, the code of rules for the Ku Klux Klan is? Goes back to, I think, 1915 or so. The Book of Rules for Klansmen is called the Cloron. I shit you not. It is. It's called the Cloron. Oddly enough, in all their fulminating against the imposition of your Sharia law, none of these right-wing, pig-eyed, dirt-dumb, scum-sucking bastards have ever invaded against a rule book called the Cloron. How about that? Isn't that interesting? I mean, it apropos of pretty much nothing, but just an interesting little fact so that we can all say that we learned something new today. The rule book for the Klan is called the Cloron. Cloran. And never not once has a teabagger or a birther or a deather or a bagger or a bircher or a booger eater or a libertarian said a word about the Cloron. How about that? So I just thought that might be something interesting we could add to our little storehouse of knowledge, this being Moran Monday and everything. Because it is, oh my Jesus, Moran Monday. Oh yes, it most squirtingly is. Uh-huh.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. As the Calliope plays its dulcet siren song, it's Moran Monday on the Horn. Here, right here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, right just a little few minor steps off the Carnival Midway, where you spent all your hard-earned cash throwing ping-pong balls at goldfish bowls, desperately trying to catch that iguana that nobody wants to bring home in the first place. We're right here, the Moran Monday tent. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. For less than 17, 16, 15 cents per hour of programming, it is one of your best bargains on the Midway. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That number is derived from the average $10 a month subscriber to the Horn. Pretty good deal, huh? Yeah. Here inside the Moran Monday tent, you'll find them all. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, baggers, booger eaters, libertarians, MAGA Make America Great Again Trumpansies, swinging from the rafters and flinging poo. You might want to put on that little clear plastic face shield that we provide you as you enter the Moran Monday tent. Hang on tight to children, pets, the iguana, your wallets, your purses, European messenger bags, because being conservative, the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll about be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, you will. You will. Especially on an evening like this. By now, of course, you have heard that a combination of Russian-controlled intel units hacked not only the Democratic National Committee, but the Republican National Committee. You have heard by now, of course, that the Democratic information was quickly shuffled over to that hero of transparency, Julian Assange, who, by his own admission, is a right-wing libertarian type who says he would side more with the Republican Party in this country were he a American, which I'm awfully glad he isn't. We've got enough of that type, thank you. But anyway, WikiLeaks hustled it right out so that various and sundry people could go into full sweat condition alpha. And yes, according to the CIA, whom I feel really creepy even getting close to trusting, the CIA says that, and not just the CIA, the Office of National Intelligence, everybody but the FBI, says that, yes, the Russians did mess around in our election. Which, for me, is not particularly inspiring. But just the same, it didn't convince everybody. In particular, it did not convince Hair Trump, H-A-I-R, Trump, who is the moron-in-chief. Assuming he becomes president on the 20th day of January 2017. No, he. In fact, he's so unimpressed that Herr Trump says that he's not even interested in taking the presidential daily briefing. Because, you know, how much can stuff change on planet Earth from one day to the next? Right? Sure. So, he doesn't like the fact that it appears that, you remember when he had to ditch Paul Manafort because Paul Manafort was up to his eyeballs in a dirty political slush fund in Ukraine at the behest of the pro-Russian faction of the Ukrainian government? Yes. Did you know that he has an office in Trump Tower in Manhattan? Did you? I mean, I'm sure it's just a great big coinkydink. And of course, we know now that the guy in the lead to be named as the nominee to be Secretary of State is a fellow by the name of Rex Tillerson, a 40-year executive of the sovereign state of ExxonMobil, their CEO, whose particular specialty has been sticking his nose so far up the rectum of Vladimir Putin that when Putin sneezes, you can see Rex Tillerson smiling. Yes. He was even given the official Order of the Friends of Mother Russia award or some such drivel as that by Big Bad Vladdy Daddy. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, there might be a connection at work. See, ExxonMobil badly wants economic sanctions against Russia based on their invasion of Ukraine and Crimea to be lifted. In the last year or so, ExxonMobil lobbying the government of the United States said that the economic sanctions on Russia had cost poor little ExxonMobil $1 billion. I mean, if you were an Exxon, and let's remember, these are sovereign corporations. They exist sort of like, I don't know, a Star Trek plot device, like Q, if you will, only it's X for Exxon, outside time and space. Companies like Exxon operate outside national boundaries, national borders. You know, every time you turn around, there's some right-wing POS out there hollering about, "We've got to secure our borders, right, crackies? Yeah, the Mexican rapists are flowing across the dry parts of the Rio Grande, and they're raping our white women and stuff, and they got calves like cantaloupes." Right? Well, it turns out it's really not the Mexicans or the Ecuadorians or the Guatemalans, the Hondurans, the Nicaraguans, the Salvadorans, the Colombians, the Peruvians, the Chileans, the Argentinians, the Bolivians, the Brazilians. It's not them we really have to worry about relative to open borders. It's ExxonMobil. and all the other transnational predators. What was the term that Matt Taibbi coined for Goldman Sachs? Vampire squids. Those are the stateless, borderless persons we have to worry about. Because as it turns out, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini and his buddy Big Bad Vladdy Daddy and Rex Tillerson have a deal in the works. One of the more interesting things to arise out of climate change is the melting of the polar ice caps. If you know your history of colonization, European colonization and European exploration, you know that the big sticky wet dream of white European colonizing countries was to find a quick and easy way to Asia. Because I mean, when you come down the Thames and you sail out into the Channel and you hug the coast of France and then you hug the coast of the Iberian Peninsula and then you hug the coast of Africa all the way down to the Cape of Good Hope, and you got around that son of a bitch, and you got to come up the other side of Africa, and then you got to go sailing across the Indian Ocean, which once upon a time, never mind the Caribbean, was absolutely chock-a-block with pirates. There was this thing called the Pirate Round. If you were a pirate who had done the Caribbean, the Pacific, and the Indian Ocean, you were quite the pirate. And the seas were full of pirates. But that's the way you had to go, and it was a long, 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 long trip to get to the East Indies and to get to South Asia and to get to China and eventually in the 19th century because we forced their doors open, Japan. Yeah. And this is even after the discovery of the Western Hemisphere. Well, discovery. I mean, they didn't discover shit. There were a few million people living here. It didn't need discovering. It's just that the white people finally found out it was here when their technology arose sufficiently to keep one of their bobbing little scows going all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. And so the minute that happened, well, you know, the religiously insane madman Cristoforo Colon, we know him as Columbus, actually got himself in some pretty deep shit because he didn't bring back any real particularly interesting wealth. It would take a while before Pizarro and Cortez would start sending back the stuff. Well, it was said of the Spaniards that they had a sickness of the heart that could only be treated but never cured by gold and more gold, and it would take Pizarro and Cortez to make that work. But the whole point was to find a quicker route than that afore described for getting to Asia. Columbus was not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and he thought the earth was much smaller than it actually is. I mean, we're small compared to Jupiter and Saturn and so on, but it's still big to send a 150-foot garbage scow bobbing across the ocean. And so the hunt was on, and once the eastern seaboards of the Americas, as they became known, had been examined, and it was figured out that there was, once they had found Cape Horn, which was a real party to go. I mean, if you're going from east to west, Cape Horn is just a blast. Never mind the furious 50s or the screaming 60s. No, so they sort of thought, wait a minute, okay, let's try the northern route. Because in a desperate attempt to get the white people to just leave them alone and take their diseased selves and go somewhere else. Oh, yeah, what you're looking for is the Northwest Passage, fellas. Yep, it's right over there. Yeah, it's going to take you a good while to get there. Better get started now. City of Gold, Northwest Passage. The answer was, oh, yeah, just keep going. But, you know, winter is coming. Better start now. And they worked like hell to find a Northwest Passage. I mean, even the Corps of Discovery under Lewis and Clark in the early 19th century was geared toward finding the Northwest Passage. And they kind of found it. They just found out that there was a whole bunch of mountains, really big, big mountains. And the rivers that were there, I mean, once you got done with the Missouri, from there to getting on the Columbia, there, it was going to be impossible to take one of those 150-foot garbage cows across all of those jagged-ass portions of the Rocky Mountains. Right. They sailed, but up until then, they had sailed all over creation. White Europeans had sailed all over creation trying to find a Northwest Passage that would get them fast and dirty, and I do mean dirty, to Asia. Well, we have lived to see the time when the Northwest Passage is open. Perhaps one of the reasons, for instance, that Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe goes swanning into the well of the United States Senate carrying a snowball, talking about how because it snowed in Washington, D.C., there's no such thing as global warming, is to sort of try to divert the Rube's attention away from the fact that, well, I mean, do we have any little ones? Do we have any little ones in the room or in the family right now? I don't know. I can't see. So I'm gonna sit here and talk for a minute or two. While if there are any little people in the room, say 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, that's usually the outside extent. While you get them to another room, okay? Tell them they can come in and hear Uncle Bob say all the fun dirty words in a little bit. But for now, they just kind of need to go clean their rooms or something. You just go on. No, really. Get out. Shoot. Uncle Bob loves you. Go. Okay, good. We're going to have to work on this Santa thing. Because, you know, Santa lives at the North Pole, right? Well, there's no North Pole for Santa to live at anymore. I wish to hell I was kidding. I'm not. It's melted. The reindeer drowned. The elves froze to death in the water. Kind of like Jack at the end of Titanic. Turning all blue and shit. While Rose is sitting there on top of that floating door or what the hell ever going, oh no, Jack, I'm sorry. It's only a room enough on this door for one person. No, it's so cold. And, you know, even, the little elf, what was his name? Oswald or whatever, who wanted to be a dentist. Gone. Yeah. Because the North Pole melted. And because the North Pole melted, something amazing has happened. Suddenly, there's all kinds of, do you call ocean real estate? There's all kinds of drilling opportunities that have opened up. And guess who has a partnership to do it? Why, yes. That would be ExxonMobil and the Russian oil company Rostov. Mm-hmm. If the sanctions against Russia are lifted, and Rex Tillerson would like to see that happen, according to Bloomberg, back in October, it would have access to 63.7 million acres of Russian land it leases, over five times the amount of land it leases in this country. And a whole bunch of that is up at the North Pole. Now, I don't want to ruin anybody's Christmas myths. And I don't want anybody having to answer hard questions. But sweet Jesus, there are some dickheads in the world. And this being More In Monday, I guess we kind of focus on them. I mean, this comes, of course, from, you know, where else? Texas. David Grisham Jr. is the head gospel sharp for Last Frontier Evangelism. And I guess the voice of Jesus inside his head that isn't Jesus, but is in fact his own, you know, personal mental illness, decided to descend upon a mall in Amarillo, Texas. Yep. Doesn't Amarillo mean Amarillo? Doesn't that mean like yellow in Spanish? Something like that? That was my understanding. But anyway, he showed up at the mall to, in the name of Jesus Christ, scream at little children. Wish I was making this up. I'm not.
Hi, it's Pastor Dave Grisham here for Last Frontier Evangelism. And today we're at the mall in Amarillo, Texas, and we're going to tell the children here today the truth that there is no Santa Claus and that it's Christmas is about Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sin.
Yeah. Because, you know, 4-year-olds have such a humongous pile of sins. You know, I should probably announce a couple of announcements. Dr. Bill was not on the air today. He's been sick for a couple of weeks. And I talked to him earlier today, and he told me to tell y'all not to worry. He'll be back at it soon. I personally think he probably exhausted himself during the campaign. He's been under the weather, and he's trying to get back to the microphone. I told him not to hurry, that we'd all be waiting. The other part of it is that Agnes is gone for a week over to help with the grandbabies. A couple of doctor's appointments this week, and it's a lot easier to you know, let them, help them get off to school and everything. And right. So she's going to be over there for the week, and then we're going to be kind of, I'm going to be sort of, you know, sad and miserable and lonesome for a few days. But anyway, back to good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, David Grisham Jr., who's going to set those sinning three-year-olds straight, right?
And Jesus was born in a manger 2016 years ago. So here we go.
Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. So that meant me taking Agnes over to our daughter and son-in-law's home yesterday. And, you know, they just as a little treat, and I don't consider it food by any stretch of the imagination, but they like it. They don't do things like this very often. I stopped at Taco Bell because they love the soft tacos and the bean burritos. Steve from Georgia Stan says, so what time tomorrow do you want me to show up with the keg? Just one keg, Steve? I think between us we're good for a couple. And, you know, none of that Milwaukee's Beast bullshit either. I mean, if we're going to get a beer bust on, by God, it better be the good stuff. So I'm standing there, and it takes an inordinately long time to make six soft tacos and four bean burritos. And, you know, there were some lovely little kids in there. It was sweet and everything. And so I got my armload of bags on the way out the door. And there's actually this lady holding the door for me. And I walked by and I said, Happy Holidays. And she took a minute and she gave me this look and said, Merry Christmas. And her friend starts talking to her. You know, I saw something on Facebook the other day about people who say Happy Holidays. And I just looked at her. I'm sorry. It was a lie. But I just looked at her when she said, Merry Christmas. I said, well, I'm Jewish. Uh-oh. Yeah. White-haired, blue-eyed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hopefully I just put a little inner balloon there, her Merry Christmas balloon, because, see, apparently this dickhead over here is saying the only reason anybody has a holiday around this time of year is Christ, which was not his name, which was a name that was applied to him, you know, by Greeks who never met the guy. Yeah, meanwhile, Carol Baker points out, Jesus didn't die on the cross for Christmas. Fuck TARDIS confusing Christmas with Easter. Even atheists know that. I know. But, you know, it's never too early to terrorize 2-year-olds. But that's a tactic. With all due apologies to my Jewish friends, I say happy holidays because, you know, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, sometimes Eid, or my pagan friends who celebrate Yule, or those of us who know our Roman history and know about Saturnalia. Mm-hmm. Or just the plain old solstice. Lot of holidays this time of year. And it would be nice if they were, you know, all of them happy. But it was just a game time decision when I got that, you know, sort of squint eyed, just ate a green persimmon look and Merry Christmas. I'm Jewish. So if there's a problem, you know, next time I'll be Muslim or, you know, Hindu or something. But I just need to borrow a religion every now and then. Because that was like the second or third time that had happened. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
So, you know, I've had a run-in with one of these types. No, Jen, no, just no. Speaking on behalf, I presume, of both Steve and me, we are not going to fill up the bathtub and have a beer spa. Let's just be clear about that. Neither Ms. Agnes nor Ms. Karen would probably approve. Just saying.
Not saying, just saying. Just saying, not saying.
Yeah, back to Pastor Grisham who, and all those sinful toddlers.
We're going to tell them the truth.
Folks, my name is Pastor David. Kids, I wanted to tell you today
that there is no such thing as Santa Claus. Santa Claus does not exist. The Christmas season is about Jesus. Jesus was born 2,016 years ago. He was born in a manger in a small town called Bethlehem.
At least according to the mythology.
And that's the truth about Christmas. The man you're going to see today is just a man in a suit dressed up like Santa, but Santa does not exist. Yeah, Santa's not real.
Uh-oh. We got some pissed off Amarillo, Texan parents here.
Parents, y'all need to stop lying to your children and telling them that Santa Claus is real when in fact he's not. When you substitute the lie of Santa Claus in the heart of your child for the truth of Jesus Christ, you are bearing false witness against God. Don't lie to your children and tell them there's such a thing as Santa when you know in reality that there are no flying reindeer.
Oh, come on, it's Texas. Somebody shoot him. Oh, what? I did not say that. I did not say that. I repent of that. I'm sorry. But historically speaking, you do realize that he is declaring the official doctrine of Puritans, Calvinists, Congregationalists, all those early anti-fun, anti-pleasure Christians who showed up on these shores 400 years ago or so. Just so you know. I mean, you could be put on the dunking stool or in the pillory or the stocks or have your ear nailed to the pillory or whatever in merry oldie New England for getting Christmassy. Okay, thank you for the absolution. Carol says, don't feel bad about the Jewish lie. When these stumps like to make racist comments about my wetbacks on the phone, and yes, they do it more than you could ever believe, I tell them my maiden name is Gonzalez and I can't swim. Shuts them right the fuck up. Well, you've got my I'm Jewish and raised me a Gonzalez, Carol. There's no getting around that. You got me beat a mile. On the other hand, though, Asa does point out, he says, well, I'm Jewish. That's a classic burn. You'd make a great Ashkenazi Jew. No need to worry about those blue eyes. But I do. I think my next one's going to be Muslim. That'll probably get me shot. But speaking of, you know, right-wingers, anti-Semitism, whatever. Hey, boy, I tell you what. The gang over at Twitter sure is tough. I mean, when Twitter drops the hammer on you for being a hate-filled, troglodytic, goddamn Nazi, they make it stick for a month or so. Richard Spencer, the neo-Nazi who was hollering, "Hail Trump, hail our people, hail our victory," a couple of weeks ago, he's had his Twitter ban lifted because he promised he'd be nice. No, he didn't. He's right back at it again, and Twitter is happy as can be that he is. No, really, is there nobody in Texas who will stand up for St. Nicholas?
There is no workshop at the North Pole.
Because it's melted.
There is no elves making toys.
Because they drowned.
Hey, you buy all the gifts and put them under the tree. That's all the truth. And there is no real Santa Claus. There is no Santa. It is not your place to lie to your children. Tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. Tell them the truth about what Christmas is all about. That it's about Jesus and it's not about Santa Claus. There is no Santa Claus. There is no Santa Claus. It's about Jesus. Tell them the truth. Go.
Wonder how many sermons this prick has preached about big government gonna intrude in people's lives by telling them they had to go to the doctor when they was sick. Wonder how many times this jackass has ascended the pulpit to tell them that
Hillary and her big Obama and his big government gonna come and get their goons.
But he feels privileged to go and shit on a little kid's holiday. I tell you what, the love of Christ knoweth no bounds, right?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, them freedom loving Amarillians won't even one of them stand up for the Cherins and punch this bastard in the face. I mean, can you imagine what a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Texan would do if that guy was from the Church of Satan? Or if he was an atheist? Oh, hell! There wouldn't even be a little greasy spot left where the atheist had been. Of course, atheists are generally a little more polite than to do what this fucker's doing. Just saying.
Yes, we do tell them the truth. Now go on.
Sir, don't put your hands on
me. Then go on. Quit talking this mess. You understand me?
Keep your hands to yourself.
I got my kids over there. We don't need you coming over here blabbing whatever the hell you're blabbing.
I'm telling them the truth. That there is no Santa Claus.
Now, go.
I'm not leaving. You need to keep your hands to yourself, sir. And don't put your hands on people. That's
assault.
Then
don't come over here talking your mess.
No, dumbass, that's battery.
And don't come over here and tell your children the truth? That there is no Santa Claus?
That's not your decision for me to tell my kids what's the truth and what's not.
The truth is there is no Santa Claus.
Okay.
There is no Santa, and Christmas is about Jesus.
And the parents are all right with that?
The parents are all right with lying to their kids.
Yeah. Not your decision to make.
That's a sin. It's a sin in the eyes of God. Kids, there is no Santa. Santa's not real. Your parents are lying to you. Don't believe it.
There is a Santa.
Y'all have a nice day.
Yeah, a couple of guys walk up, and all of a sudden, some of his heroic, Christ-centered courage begins to evaporate. Jen notes, sorry, dude, there's even flying reindeer down, and enough schnapps and even the Liebkuchen start to fly. Our big tin of homemade Liebkuchen arrived from Pennsburg yesterday. Yum, yum. See, I recently received a package of Liebkuchen, and I didn't realize that in addition to the regular Liebkuchen, there was chocolate-covered Liebkuchen. Oh, my God! Now, you may not think that this interlude with this Jesus jerk has anything to do with anything else, but it does. Because you see, where he's all hell-bent on, and I do mean hell-bent, where he's all hell-bent on telling lies, on imposing his beliefs on children, Rex Tillerson is hell-bent on imposing ExxonMobil's belief on the global body politic, because Exxon is more important and Exxon has more power than most governments. And so Rosneft and ExxonMobil are engaged in a joint development of oil and gas properties in the Arctic, the melted Arctic, that now they can get at. I mean, I know, climate science being what it is, it's not like if we stop climate change right now, the Arctic's going to refreeze. But, you know, you wouldn't want to do anything that would slow down the melting and open up more gas drilling opportunities. God almighty, the Chinese are in the Arctic, the Russians are in the Arctic, and ExxonMobil is up there wheeling and dealing. Yeah. Meanwhile, the guy who's expected to be nominated to be number two at the Department of State, John Pornstash Bolton, Well, he's got an entirely different take on where the hacks came from. Oh, no, not the precious, blessed, innocent Russians. Not sweet little shirtless, big bad Vladdy Daddy who rides around on a goddamn tiger or some such. No. You know who did it? You know who did it. I know you know who did it. Because it's always the answer. Every time in the next 4 to 8 years, every time the Trump administration's maladministration screws up, you know whose fault it's going to be. I mean, you know what little birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger birch or booger eater, etc. You know what those little bastards say every time they stump their toe, right? Thanks, Obama. Hey, yes, by way of comparative literature, Carol points out, flying reindeer are a lie, but a talking burning bush is the truth. I'd think if a bush could talk and it was on fire, it would say, "Help me! I'm on fire! Ah! Put me out! Put me out! Douse the flames!" I think flying reindeer and the fat guy in a red suit are a lot more plausible. So, you know, fuck him. Not with yours, Carol. Not with yours. Not with mine. Maybe with John Bolton's. He looks like the kind of guy who enjoys that sort of thing. So, immediately with the news of the Russian hack coming online, well, one of the bookers called John Bolton lickety-split to get his take on the whole situation. You might want the hockey puck handy. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, you know, some Republican lawmakers are joining their Democratic colleagues in a push to thoroughly examine the reports that Russian hackers tried to influence the presidential election to help Donald Trump. It comes on the heels of the reported CIA conclusion that Moscow did indeed meddle in our election, raising some widespread concern.
Can I just point something out? Early in my journalistic career, when I first got to CNN, I was told right away there are no cows in Moscow. Oh, well.
Concerns this morning about Vladimir Putin's intentions. Here's Senator John McCain.
There's a whole lot of issues out there. It requires an investigation. The president has ordered an investigation for that. You're not going to find all this out in the next month.
And joining us now is Ambassador John Bolton, former U.N. ambassador to the United Nations, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, Fox News contributor.
And possessor of a stunning porn stash.
For a possible Secretary of State. Ambassador, welcome as always.
Glad to be with you.
You know, many say that a Russian influence and the invasion of our election system on behalf of Donald Trump, supposedly, as has been alleged, would be an outrageous invasion of our country, of our sovereignty, deeply offensive threat to our national security and the very tenets of this republic. So what should we do?
Well, I think it is important to determine the facts first. According to the media, as recently as this morning, the FBI has one view, the CIA may have a different view. And obviously, out here in the public, we have no idea what the underlying facts are. But I would say...
Yeah, because John Bolton's out here in the public. Bloodthirsty monster.
This. Any effort by any foreign government to influence an American election is a direct assault on the Constitution. It's something we have always worried about, going back to George Washington's administration, when the ambassador...
You know that whatever he says here, there's a big old butt coming, right?
From revolutionary France, Citizen Genet, came to this country and openly tried to build coalitions with people who wanted a more pro-French foreign policy, more anti-British foreign policy. This was a searing lesson for the early republic. And I think if the facts...
Remind me, there's actually a historical precedent here that's a lot closer to home that I don't know if John Bolton even knows about, but curiously, if he does, he's not interested in raising it. Just saying.
Prove out that Russia did try to influence our election, they should face very grave consequences, both so they never even think about it again and so that nobody else ever thinks about it again.
What type of grave consequences? You know, the potential candidate for Secretary of State, Mr. Tillerson, in the past has been against sanctions on Russia. Would you support sanctions? What do you think we should do?
Well, that's why I say we have to know the facts here, and it's not at all clear to me.
Here it comes.
Just viewing this from the outside, that this hacking into the DNC and the RNC computers was not a false flag operation. Let's remember.
Wow. Usually we have to go over to Alex Jones's site to get false flag, false flag. And you know what? They sell more adult diapers in Japan than they do for children. I take a shower after I go poo. Sorry. Tried real hard over the weekend to scrub that one away, but still here.
False flag.
Let's get all of this.
Clear to me, just viewing this from the outside, that this hacking into the DNC and the RNC computers was not a false flag operation. Let's remember what FBI Director James Comey said dealing with Hillary's homebrew server. He said, we found no direct...
Homebrew server? She was keeping recipe for a really good Oktoberfest. Oh Jesus, or maybe a nice tatty porter on her homebrew server. What a fuckwit this guy is.
Evidence of foreign intelligence service penetration, but given the nature of this, we didn't expect to. Meaning, a really sophisticated foreign intelligence service would not leave any cyber fingerprints. And yet people say they did leave cyber fingerprints in the hacks regarding our election. So the question that has to be asked is, why did the Russians run their smart intelligence service against Hillary's server, but their dumb intelligence services against the election?
Well, when you say false flag, that's a very serious charge. I mean, false flag by whom? Here's the Washington Post. The Post reported the CIA has concluded that individuals with close ties to the Russian government hacked the emails. Intelligence officials have determined that Russia's goal was to help Trump win rather than simply undermine confidence in the election. Are you actually accusing someone here in this administration of trying to, or in the intelligence community of trying to throw something?
We just don't know.
You know, before he says we just don't know because this is video, I need to make clear that he nods his head yes in answer to the question, are you accusing someone in the administration of doing this? He nods his head yes. And then he says, well, we just don't know.
But I believe that intelligence has been politicized in the Obama administration to a very significant degree.
But would the agents, the intelligence officials, politicize this to go so far to something that could potentially damage the very issue of our republic and what we for 200 plus years have stood for?
Well, now I think the whole thing is called into question, which is why the notion of some kind of independent investigation becomes extremely important.
Because the whole thing is called into question. Except the only person calling it into question is John Bolton, who, as Jen points out, is so incurious about whatever it is that undoubtedly happened that he's just such an incurious individual. He's not even curious about the weird shit that lives in his mustache. Yeah, because, you know, he created the controversy, so now we have to talk about the controversy in the for-profit media. You know, I said something back sometime around November 22nd, and I'm going to reiterate it. Did you ever think you would live to see the day when you found yourself hoping that it was actually true that the CIA took out Kennedy? Did you? Because that is just... This whole thing is bizarre. Interesting, isn't it? that the DNC gets hacked and the DNC says, we got hacked. The RNC gets hacked and they're still denying that they got hacked. So what we know is that Big Bad Vladdy Daddy put out everything he had over to sweet innocent Julian Assange and WikiLeaks while he sat on the RNC stuff. Now, there's a possibility that the RNC are just a bunch of angels who had absolutely nothing interesting or incriminating inside their emails. Of course, the other possibility is that the RNC has all kinds of incriminating stuff inside their emails, and that the people who were deciding what got released and what did not, namely the Russians, decided there was more value in releasing the Hillary stuff because, in fact, they were in favor of getting a president who would then take instruction and do their bidding and do as he was told and appoint a guy as Secretary of State. And this is why there's been this interminable reality TV show about who's going to be Secretary of State. My God, at one point they even said it was going to be Joe fucking Manchin. When Trump, even if he has a right mind to be in, wouldn't do that because Manchin is much more valuable in the Senate, where he can thwart any attempt by the Democrats to try to hold Trump to some minimal level of account. But the RNC, of course, it reached for comment. A member of the RNC said, of course we are not having been hacked. Moose and Squirrel been nowhere near our server. But I mentioned something about history. Gerald points out, yes, there's a possibility that the Republican National Committee's emails were just Lily White. Well, no, Lily White's, they were Lily White, that they were devoid of any compromising information. Gerald says, yes, there's a possibility, but highly unlikely. American history. This is not about Citizen Genet coming to the young United States and trying to forge closer alliances with France, La Belle France. There is a much more on-point example from American history, and it is, of course, something very, very relatively few people know about. He'd participated in the American Revolution as a youngish man. Of course, Hamilton and Burr were among the youngest of the inner circle, the military inner circle of the Revolution. But there were others. One of whom was a young man by the name of James Wilkinson. James Wilkinson, now, remember, the American army after the Revolution was just about shrunken to the size where it could be drowned in a bathtub. It was a skeleton crew at best. It was a real challenge, in fact, for George Washington when the Whiskey Rebellion broke out to put it down. Because there just wasn't a whole hell of a lot to the American army. But James Wilkinson managed to stay in that army and rise through its ranks and keep in good political graces in and out of different administrations, whether they be Federalist or Jeffersonian Republican. And eventually he rose to the rank of general. And he was Wilkinson was immediately put in charge once the Louisiana Purchase was accomplished of the territory of Louisiana, which is not the Louisiana we know in current boundaries, but in fact stretched from New Orleans to, say, Butte, Montana, and St. Louis, and Illinois, and Wisconsin, and stuff like that. Yeah, maybe not Wisconsin. Not Illinois. But the west of the Mississippi, parts of Texas. There were parts that were still held by Spain. And Spain had a decided interest in being very, very worried about what the young American nation might try to do with such an expansive chunk of real estate. That is why they put General James Wilkinson of the United States Army on the payroll of the Spanish crown. And they kept him there. And it was sort of an open secret that General Jamie was in the pay of the Spanish monarch. He reported back to a Spanish ambassador every last little piece of information that was transferred to him via official channels and unofficial from Washington, D.C. By the time Thomas Jefferson was president and accomplished the Louisiana Purchase, people were trying to warn Jefferson that there was a worm in the American apple. Jefferson, however, after the electoral fight between him and Aaron Burr, Jefferson would have nothing, would hear nothing except things that had to do with his obsessive hatred of Aaron Burr. And so even though James Wilkinson was a spy for the Spanish crown and in charge of the entire American military force west of the Mississippi, Jefferson ignored all that. And Wilkinson continued to do his damage. I think the Wilkinson story is probably a lot closer to the reality of what we're dealing with right now than any other American historical precedent. I think we have a reason. I think we have a more than passing reason to believe that Donald Trump is actually a Russian asset. In other words, a traitor. A fifth columnist, if you will. I'll say this because I can say this. You're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody in the for-profit media saying this plainly. Of James Wilkinson, Theodore Roosevelt wrote, "In all our history, there is no more despicable character." There may be a contender to leapfrog General Wilkinson. He went so far as to advise the Spanish colonial officials on how to contain American expansion urges in exchange for the restoration of his pension. He reported on the Lewis and Clark expedition to his Spanish masters. Part of the reason he went after Aaron Burr, and part of the reason that that we don't know exactly what Burr was up to, was because Burr had ostensibly put together a group who wanted to go to the Ouachita Riverlands and set up camp, colonize, if you will. Burr was tried for his life, in part on testimony by James Wilkinson, a traitor. Wilkinson even presented a letter. It was called the Cipher Letter. Burr was fond of code and ciphers that he came up with on his own. And he had sent a letter in cipher to Wilkinson. Wilkinson dummied it up and did so bad a job of it that it was obviously a forgery, and he put it forward in order to divert attention from himself, because it would have been a lot easier to put his neck at the end of a rope even than Burr's. And had Thomas Jefferson been paying attention, he would not have focused so closely on Burr and might have actually found out that there was a deep spy in his midst. Frederick Jackson Turner, the historian, said of General Wilkinson that he was the most consummate artist in treason that the nation ever possessed. To this day, there's still a street in New Orleans named Wilkinson Street. And I'm of the opinion that Donald Trump may be every bit an agent of the Russian oligarchy, in the same sense that James Wilkinson was an agent of the Spanish crown. It all makes too much sense now. And if our government falls into the hands of Donald Trump and his Russian cronies, we may very well be done. Now, for the little green meanies out there, I want you to notice something in everything that I have just said. I have managed to talk about this and say not a word about Hillary Clinton. Up until this moment, I have not spoken her name. I've said not a word about the election, except to the extent that the Russians hoped to influence it in favor of Donald Trump. They would have sought to influence the election in favor of Donald Trump had the candidate been Bernie Sanders or Jim Webb or that guy from Maryland whose name I can't remember anymore or Vermin Supreme. The goal here is to lift the financial pressures on Russia via the sanctions, and further, to hopefully splinter NATO so that Russian tanks can roll across Ukrainian borders and Latvian borders and Estonian borders nay, perhaps in fact, all of the borders of the former USSR. That's the purpose. To create a hobbled United States that will breach its treaty alliances, which have in fact helped to keep the peace in Europe for 75 years. 70 years, 71 years. And the most disturbing thing out of this is that if you wander around Facebook and look at the feeds of people you know who are Trumpensies, and that includes, well, okay, not just Trumpensies, but the squirrely people who are ostensibly on our side of the discussion, you will find a full-throated defense of Trump, his more than obvious traitorous alliance with the Russians, and just about anything that Big Bad Vladdy Daddy wants to do. I am no fan of the CIA. But I am less inclined to trust Glenn Greenwald when he petulantly says, for all intents and purposes, that he's angry at the CIA, that the CIA didn't explain it all personally to him, Glenn. Than I am to trust career intelligence officials. Because there's one more thing involved with all of this. The first thing that Team Trumpanzee said was, well, yeah, I mean, they're saying that the CIA is saying that the Russians hacked the election and the DNC and the RNC, but, you know, these are the same guys that said Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Oh, I've got a little bit better memory than that. The fact of the matter is, during the run-up to the Iraq War, the German intelligence service, told us that Screwball was a screwball, that there was no yellow cake, that Al-Qaeda was not in Prague, and that Screwball was living under a bridge somewhere drinking screw-top wine. And their intel counterparts in the U.S., a number of them, heard that and understood. And actually tried to stop the run-up to the war. Do you remember the brilliant reporting that was actually done? No, not by the New York Times and Judy Miller, stenographer to Darth Vader, Count Dicula. Thanks, Jim. But McClatchy, remember McClatchy? They did hero journalism, and it was based on information coming out of the intelligence services. The only people who said Saddam had weapons of mass destruction were people who had a hard-on for that war because they had been directed to have a hard-on for that war by dim leader. He tried to kill my daddy. So anybody willing to take, inclined to take the same bunch who told us Saddam had weapons of mass destruction bait, obviously doesn't remember David or Richard Clark. Richard Clark, who was hauled before the president on the morning of September the 12th, 2001, and said, go and find me some evidence that Saddam did this. He came back a day later and looked at Dim Leader, whom he had been begging for a meeting with for 9 months and had been ignored, to try to tell him what was coming. And he shows up on the morning of September the 13th and says, "Mr. President, there is no evidence that Saddam had anything to do with this." And Dim Leader said, "I said he tried to kill my daddy. You go back and you find me some information. You find me some intel that says Saddam had something to do with this." And it wasn't there. And Richard Clark tried to tell the world. He did tell the world. Not that it did much good. But when Benito Chito says, "These are the same people who told us that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction," that is not entirely true. And now we got a mess. James with an email said, "There was never any bad thing said about Clinton by anyone, WikiLeaks, Breitbart, Alex Jones, et al., that was ever questioned. It was all gospel. But this? Probably a false flag. Oceanfront property in Omaha, anyone? We should all approach this with skepticism, no matter whose ox is being gored. But we need to know." That's the whole point. We need to know. They could keep partisanship to a full roar over Nixon. Trump's no Nixon. Republicans need to stop looking at everything as an advantage to grasp onto. Sorry, I lost my head. Of course, they won't. Party first, baby! And if there's going to be a congressional investigation, it, by God, does not need to be led by Trey Gowdy or Jason Chaffetz or any of the other fifth columnists. It needs to be an entirely transparent, independent review. You know, with a special prosecutor. But of course, as quickly as the Republicans were done chasing after Bill Clinton's dick, they let the special prosecutor law lapse. Funny that, huh? There's a ton of stuff that goes with this evening. I mean, I got a clip here from Jeanine Pirro that will make your ears come damn near bleeding. Probably the most important, hopeful, piece of news coming out of all of this comes from a bipartisan group of members of the Electoral College. A group of, again, Republican and Democrat members of the Electoral College have signed a public letter to James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence. Nine electors. Precious few, but still, it's a beginning. They wrote in their letter, "We intend to discharge our duties as electors by ensuring that we select a candidate for president who, as our founding fathers envisioned, would be endowed with the requisite qualifications to be president." That's a direct, endowed with the qualifications to be, endowed with the requisite qualifications is a direct quote from Federalist 68. They continue, The Constitution envisions the Electoral College as a deliberative body that plays a critical role in our system of government, ensuring that the American people elect a president who is constitutionally qualified and fit to serve. According to reports in the Washington Post, New York Times, and other outlets, the United States intelligence community has now concluded definitively that the Russian interference was performed to help Donald Trump get elected, yet even today, Mr. Trump is refusing to accept that finding. Separate from Mr. Trump's own denials of Russian involvement in the election, the confirmed communication between Trump's aides and those associated with the Russian election interference activity raised serious concerns that must be addressed before we cast our votes. They then go on to list their concerns. Among other things, they're concerned about reports that Russian government officials maintained contact with the Trump campaign during the election. They further write, "The electors require to know from the intelligence community whether there are ongoing investigations into ties between Donald Trump, his campaign or associates, and Russian government interference in the election, the scope of those investigations, how far those investigations may have reached, and who was involved in those investigations. We further require a briefing on all investigative findings, as these matters directly impact the core factors in our deliberations of whether Mr. Trump is fit to serve as President of the United States." They also address themselves to the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, requiring of him conclusive evidence that he and his staff and advisors did not accept Russian interference or otherwise collaborate during the campaign. Oh, there's that word I've been hollering about since November 9th. No collaboration. And conclusive disavowal and repudiation of such collaboration and interference going forward. As Jen says, too bad they didn't add a postscript. Oh, yeah, by the way, P.S., please fire James Comey. So, does this have a snowball's chance in hell? Probably not. Because, among other things, there are probably a lot of electors who are scared shitless of the Trumpanzees and all of their guns, who now suddenly find themselves, having once been fierce cold warriors, find themselves considering a brutal Russian dictator. You have to say brutal when you say dictator here in Merca. The greatest country in the history of the world, in the universe, now, forever, today. Amen. You have to say brutal in front of dictator. But now they're all, no, he's just a plush old Russian bear who would just want to snuggle. Yeah, maybe in a little bit we'll get to the Jeanine Pirro clip, quote, whatever. But we're halfway through the program, and I have over-filibobstered. So we should take a break. And during that break, I sincerely hope we can take a bite out of the evening's fundraising. No, that's what Trump does. You know, when his foundation pays his debts and his buys 6-foot-tall oil portraits of him and. Yeah, whatever. No, we need to raise $214 this evening. And hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later, so as not to jump into a hole on a Monday. The PayPal button is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. So, yeah, it's the holiday season. But I got to admit, I don't feel terribly holiday-ish. Not tonight, at least. So we'll take a break and then come back to your conversations and more. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn, and me, I'm Bob.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. But I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on my mind. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on.
Yeah, George Strait. You can't have a story about a, can't have an Amarillo story without George Strait. So there we go. It is 27 minutes before the hour on this Moran Monday. James reminds me that there's a good article. It goes back to, oh, golly Moses, the long and long ago. October 27th, 2003, The New Yorker, The Stovepipe, Seymour Hersh. How conflicts between the Bush administration and the intelligence community marred the reporting on Iraq's weapons. It's what happens when you try to proceed backwards from a stated and make the ends justify the means. Just in case you're wondering, the resistance is growing. As Carol points out, a feline declaration of independence was sent to major newspapers in the U.S. and around the world, stating, "We hold this single truth to be self-evident, that no cat with any dignity would preserve an attachment to a nation led by an inflatable, vinyl buffoon like Donald Trump." As Carol points out, we're talking about animals that lick their own butts in front of company. So that really is saying something. Something indeed. So let's run over and check in with Todd in South Carolina, Stan, who's probably in no better shape than the rest of us. Hey, Todd. Sup?
What? Excuse me. Look, everybody I know is depressed.
True.
Okay. That's where I'm going to start out. And it's like, okay, this person I'm not going to take up all the time, but this is...
Take all the time you need. That's
like,
what we're here
it
for.
It can get worse. Oh.
Yes, it can get worse. Every time we ask, can it, right now the universe is answering, interesting, you would ask. And then it does.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, we got to get the giggles where we can find them.
You know, and I don't know. We may have talked that day where you said that. I think I called in that day. We were talking about the Kennedy thing. Now let's think. I mean, it's just so much going on. It's just so much. It's just so many moving pieces to this. You know? And what's disgusting, this is what's disgusting. These folks, because you know I'm an addict to Washington Journal. You know, that's the pulse of the nation.
Well, I was about to ask you about that, Todd, because, you know, you're the one who takes one for the team in that regard. What are the Trumpanzees saying about all this?
Well, you know, just like Goebbels understood that media was the way to, you know, get to people. Okay. And so the Breitbart guy is the new Goebbels. So obviously he's instructing Trump. So I say all that to say this. You know, way back, we discussed this months ago. Because he's been on television for so many... I never watched that dumbass show. I don't have time for that shit. But apparently a lot of people just sit and watch TV all day long and all night long and they have nothing else to do. So people who are on TV, they have... You know, they have a repertoire. They have gravitas. That's the word I'm looking for. So when they're on TV, they must be important. So they're just chanting what Trump says. These people will call in from middle America and they're like, but I just believe in Donald Trump because he said he's going to make America great again. And I just know he is. And he's our president. We have to support him. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are you, you know, what are you not? I know you motherfuckers watch TV. What the fuck? And I'm really cursing off the fucking... off the jump right now. I'm telling you, this is disgusting. These people are so brainwashed. They're not seeing what you see and I see, because we discussed this earlier. We discussed this up a couple months ago. Just what you're talking about. See, and there are people who are documenting this stuff, like Peter Dale Scott, Professor Peter Dale Scott. You know, when he talks about the deep state. Now let's think, we can do this. Let's think. Who was the last president who denounced the CIA in public? And what happened to him?
I actually kind of remember that.
Yeah. See, we don't even have to say any names. But see, a lot of folks aren't paying attention. But see, this guy is so cocky. Now, today, and I forget what interview it was, I forget. Someone was asking him about what he was going to do about the conflicts of interest and you know, just so many disgusting things that are going on. And he's not even in there yet. He's not even inaugurated yet. And he said, well, you know, after my 8 years, and he said, oh, yeah, 8 years. You know, after all your trips to Russia to get your cliff notes on how to be a fascist.
No, I caught that. I caught that little quip earlier where Trump said, you know, 8 years. Well, I mean, maybe 8 years.
Yeah, well.
And you got a lot of people out here running around going, four tops, no way, eight. But I'm too old. I remember when everybody said that Reagan was too old to serve two terms as president of the United States when he was elected in 1980.
Well... I just think once again you were on fire and there's a lot of I'm just very you know what, America has let America down at this point.
Well, you know, 50% didn't vote. something north of 2.6 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton than voted for Trump.
Right.
But there are people who did let America down. The people who voted for Trump let America down. And frankly, the people who voted third party voted let America down because their votes effectively supported Trump.
But that's
I'm sorry if they don't like it. I'm sorry if they don't like it, but it remains a fact.
I'm not sure anymore because this is what I don't get. Now, you know, I predicted he was going to win when I saw the fracture in the Philadelphia area. However, Hillary did win the popular vote, but it didn't mean anything because of how our system is set up with the Electoral College, which I cringe when people say electoral. I just cringe. I'm like, but anyway.
Oh, good God. There are people who think that the Electoral College plays in NCAA Division III, for Christ's sakes. I mean, don't get me started.
Go Nova. Nova and Temple tomorrow. Got to watch it.
Hey, my Mountaineers are kind of on fire.
What? That's... There was a lot of good sports this weekend, I had to say.
I mean, did you see them a week ago when they took down Virginia in hoops?
Yeah, it was. Well, no, I didn't see that game, but I saw some highlights. But I have to be honest. No, I didn't see the game. I did not see that one. I did see no.
We'll screw up. We'll do something dumb like losing to Robert Morris, but it's fun while it lasts. And I guess what, December 28th, December 29th, we're going to go down and play Miami in Florida in a bowl game?
Wow. That's right. And you know, maybe that's why the college ball is a lot more exciting in a way. It really is, because you get to see these guys, you know, come up through the ranks and play hard, you know, whether it's basketball or football.
I still, you know, where the playoff is concerned, I still can't figure out how you can wind up in the playoff and not actually win your own conference championship if you're in a conference. But I'm not one of the highfalutin smart ones there.
Well, see, that's the Electoral College of college sports.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
I wish I wasn't sober.
I mean, the irony that Ohio State didn't win their conference and yet is playing in the national championship playoffs, and Ohio was instrumental in handing us Trump, is not lost on me.
See, you know, Mudville doesn't look too good at that point. You know what I'm saying? And this goes back to this anti-intellectualism nonsense. You know, because I don't know. Though. I'm saying I don't think he's going to make it, because even Mitch McConnell, man, Mitch McConnell knows a lot.
Oh, Mitch McConnell waited a good long time until people started. Well, Mitch McConnell waited to see if people would notice that Elaine Chao was a Trump nominee and that there was a giant screaming conflict of interest there. And see, there's a little background here, Todd, where Mitch McConnell's mm-hmm. concerned. There's a new Congress coming. And I know of at least one senior Republican senator who would like nothing more than for Mitch McConnell to go away as Senate Majority Leader. And he's probably not the only one.
What state would the person is?
Yeah, I'm not at liberty.
Okay.
But,
okay.
You know, so far you've got, John and Marsha, I mean, John and Lindsay. well, you know, down there at the ancestral estates of Smoldering Chode, Lindsay crawled out from under the fainting couch long enough to, you know, refresh himself with a quick julep and declare that we have got to investigate this Russian business. My stars and goddess, I cannot believe such a thing.
This is what I don't get. Now, we pay attention. Most people in the Horn family pay attention to politics. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening. So apparently a lot of America does not. See, and what you spoke of tonight, it was just like everything started to gel. You know, you brought it all together. It's exactly, you know, it's like, well, come on, too many trips to Russia. And do you remember Boris? Remember Boris, his spokesman? Do you remember Boris?
Oh, I remember Boris, but I don't.
He was a Russian operative. That was Trump's handler. Period. That was Trump's handler. Dude looked like a hitman. That was his handler. You know, because let's remember. Let's look back, and this goes back to the '90s. Remember, the Russian mafia. As soon as Gorbachev was gone and Putin came in, their big thing was identity theft. And credit card scams, you know, with the card readers, like going to, you know, wherever, bars, especially bars where people are drunk, you know, all types of places, gas stations. They're still doing that here. They put a card reader in and you clone somebody's credit card, you know, and it goes to Moldova or where, you know.
No, I remember very well the years ago. I got my card nicked at a gas station in Manassas, Virginia, and the next thing I knew, there was a charge showing up from Verdun, France. And for me, you know,
from World War II, right?
Yeah, I was one Verdun.
That's not funny. No, see, yeah, it's not funny. It's not funny. Yeah, exactly. So you know, as soon as the internet started to really, you know, mid-90s, remember, internet was still getting off the, you know, everybody didn't have the internet then, but you know, establishments had to have it.
Right. It was 1995 when I started paying by the minute to connect to AOL.
See? You know?
I mean, Jesus, I remember Netscape Navigator.
Oh, yeah. We all remember that sound.
Ning, 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 ning. Yep.
You know, when your email used to get, you know, stacked up on your computer instead of out there on the cloud somewhere. But, you know, so this is nothing new to them. You know, and of course, you know, the guys on the oligarch. I mean, people don't connect data points. You know, this is not, but they're so enamored with this guy. With this fascist person, I don't, and this is like a neo-fascism, and they're like, well, you know, it's okay, he's not giving up.
You know, it may not even be neo. It may be the original variety. It just so happens that I've got a link here that I ran across over the weekend. Michael Kinsley writing at the Washington Post, and I hope to hell I can find it.
Wait a minute, Michael Kinsley, the dude who used to come on Crossfire?
Yeah, that guy.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Where are you?
Boy, he used to love talking to Buckley.
Well, no. Here, let me see if I can find it real quick, because my jaw kind of dropped when I saw the headline. Mm. And I was kind of amazed that I was kind of amazed when I saw that an editor had let it run.
Really?
And he's off and running now. I read it at the Washington Post. It was December the 9th, Michael Kinsley. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'll get a note from some green meanie crank telling me that, you know, Michael Kinsley is a blah, 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 blah. Hillary, goddammit, you know. Whatever, I'm done. But he said the first sentence of the column: Donald Trump is a fascist. I mean, is that just kind of knock you off your seat a little bit?
I like it.
Well, let's go a little further. When you call somebody a fascist, you can mean any number of things. Often it means no more than somebody I don't like. Well, I don't use it that way, and I suspect, Todd, that neither you nor the rest of the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation do either. We know the goddamn definition.
Right.
Still, Kinsley said, it is an all-purpose epithet, usable by anyone against everyone from university deans to Fox News anchors. For that reason, the label should be used sparingly, saved for special occasions. As with Nazi or Hitler, it is often said that in any discussion, the first person reduced to using such a word has lost the argument. It is ridiculous to compare any living person to Hitler or Mussolini. Okay, maybe Hitler. I'm not so sure about Mussolini.
No.
I mean, when you're standing there with your arms crossed and that smug upside, that smug downward scowl, and you've got, and the only difference between you is a big goofy head of hair versus a head of no hair, I'm not so sure anymore.
That's the epitome of strong man. That's it.
When you've, you know, when you are propelled to power by a group of people who are willing to engage in violence, let's remember the word fascist comes from fasces, the bundle of rods with an axe in the middle that Roman office holders would be allotted to beat the fuck out of the proles if they got too close to the person.
Yes.
Say it.
Yes.
Anyway, yes. He says, but I mean fascist in the more clinical sense. For close to a year, and especially since his election as president, people have been trying to figure out Trump's political principles. What does he stand for? How will he act as president? Various theories have been advanced. Some think he won the election by pandering simultaneously to different groups with conflicting agendas and convincing all of them he was on their side. Was this a calculated exploitation of America's gimme, gimme, gimme politics? Or was it the politics of a man who had no politics, who wanted to be president because in our celebrity culture, it was the only job more glamorous than starring in his own reality television show? It has even been suggested in the sole subject of conversation in Washington for the past month that Trump might allow himself to be sworn in as president and then resign, having accomplished all he inspired to. I think anybody who thinks that inside the Beltway probably lives under a bell jar, okay? But that wouldn't be all that surprising inside the Beltway. And this is all set up.
I don't
buy into any of it. On the other hand, you can't get around what he's motivated in this country, Todd. I got a story here out of Arkansas. Haley would know about this.
Well, can I ask you one question?
Yeah, go ahead.
One question. I hope the answer is not money, but what took, now remember, the media, what we call the media, people, you know, people who have communications degrees and they're out there and they present the news to us and supposedly do reporting. Why were they so neglectful to use the obvious word that this guy, he's presenting himself as a fascist? He's telling you that I want to do, you know, I think that there shouldn't be, you know, any more libel laws, you know, basically. I'm not giving up my taxes. I mean, to anybody, any learned person, a poli sci, even a modicum of poli sci, it's like, okay, this guy's a fascist. Why did they not just call him what he was?
I don't know. I mean, there's any number of answers, and I think we're all searching for them, Todd. But you said, I hope the answer is not money. In capitalism, everything is. But ancillary to that, I think I understand why he is an agent of the Russians. He's broke. He's brokered in the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
And the Russians own his debt and prop him up and make it appear as if he is rich. That's how the Russian oligarchy fucking works.
Yes. See, this is where your argument tonight, your diatribe tonight, you're a filibuster. That is where you hit gold.
The reason that General James Wilkinson took money from the Spanish crown and betrayed his own country was because the America, being a general in the U.S. Army, didn't pay shit.
Yep.
Now, this guy's got all, here's Trump, and he's got all his money tied up in all these bullshit real estate deals. He can't sell a steak without it going under. He can't sell a bottle of goddamn vodka without it going under. He runs a scam university that he has to settle for $25 million or whatever. He gets, who can't make money at a casino, for Christ's sakes?
Well, he's, right, exactly. Well, he's
okay. Why is he? You know, why is he? Why is he? Why? Why did he? As rich as he is, why did he accept a pissant $50,000 per episode on The Apprentice when Jerry Seinfeld was getting paid $1 million per episode?
Oh my God!
Okay,
I'm not aware of that.
He needed the fucking money.
That's crazy.
Why is he staying on as a producer of The Apprentice? He needs the fucking money.
Wow. That's it right there.
He's poor as Job's turkey.
Well, we're in some, like you said, we're in a mess for a lot of reasons now. Because remember, now, I don't think we'll ever have a really clean president. Because remember, the intelligence agencies, what, there's 17 or 18 of them. There's 18, well, one overseeing everybody else, but... They know everything we do now. Everything. I mean, they can't build enough crazy supercomputers to store all our data. You know, they can't build them fast enough. They're storing everything. So there's going to be dirt on everybody, unless you are, you know, nobody's clean. You know,
well, I don't look for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Okay, I mean, let's just get that over with. But the greatest sin that a president can commit, and we're not talking here about Nixon or Reagan or Bush. Well, we're talking about Bush. The greatest sin that a president can commit is incuriousness.
What the fuck is that shit about? I don't need to go to the intelligence briefings because I'm smart. Motherfucker, if you say you're smart one more time, somebody's going to fucking knock you in the goddamn head and maybe make you smart. What the fuck is wrong with him?
Well, that's the thing. He isn't smart. To the right people, Todd, he has been reported to be genial. I mentioned last week as I came back from taking Ferg to the doctor. I guess it was last Thursday. I mentioned that I heard an interview on Fresh Air with between Terry Gross and the guy who's the executive editor of the New York Times, and he talked about how nice Trump is. And how he always writes thank you notes. What billionaire has time to sit down and handwrite thank you notes? Sorry. But no, Jen says, oh, yeah. Did you read that article that referred to plugs as a broke shark who must move forward, continue to invest badly, just because if he stops, he'll die? If he does divest, he'll come out of it broke because he actually has no cash flow. That's why no financial disclosures.
He is all about OPM. Now we remember that we were young men at that time. We were like, oh, OPM. Remember those infomercials? That's what he was about. The OPM.
Yeah.
Everybody who grew up around that time, you know that this guy is full of shit. He could not even keep his money. He just blew it. He couldn't figure out what to do with it.
And he's literally living on rentals from hotels and properties, you know, where he gets monthly rents. Okay, he's broke.
He's broke. All he knows.
And as a consequence, he has been compromised.
Exactly. That's exactly where it's exactly.
Because no, American Financial Institute, I mean, too many American tycoons have already said American financial institutions won't deal with him because he fucks them.
Right. He won't pay.
He's a deadbeat. And that made him approachable by the Russians.
He was a mark.
And even if you don't have a straight up quid pro quo agreement,
mm-hmm.
Let's put it on micro terms. Let's say you've got a neighbor and your neighbor's pretty well off. And, you know, you're friends. You get along, you drink beer, whatever. And your neighbor does favors for you. You know, maybe he loans you his pickup truck when you've got to carry brush to the junkyard or whatever.
Right, right.
Or to the dump.
Right.
Well, one of these days, he's going to ask you, hey, could you help me out? Well, you're going to, because you're a decent human being, you're going to feel obliged, aren't you?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, now raise it up a level, and let's go to that early scene of The Godfather. When the guy asks for a favor, and the Godfather says, yeah, okay, but someday I'm going to call upon you.
Yep.
Now multiply that by $1 billion or so.
There you go.
And they send Rex Tillerson to you. You don't call for Rex Tillerson. Rex Tillerson comes to you and says, listen, we're losing $1 billion over these goddamn sanctions, and we want to drill in the Arctic. And your friend Vlad says that would be a very nice thing, that it would be a very nice thing to make me Secretary of State. The whole reason for putting Tillerson this far back was expressly for the purpose of creating noise around lunatics like Betsy DeVos and Andy Putzder.
We haven't even gotten to this stuff. And you really
and what's his name? Steve Mnuchin.
See, you said it. That's, you know, you were very succinct, and I love that word, succinct. You were very succinct with this because you showed if these people really get to their positions that he wants to appoint them to, it's like, oh my God, you are just going to hobble this country. This country will be desperate. There's going to be a lot of hurting people. You're going to lose your health insurance. I mean, and these folks are still like, he's going to make America great again. You know, I'm sorry.
And what I was going to point out to you a little bit ago, there's an article that was published in Politico a week or so ago. And they went to Western Pennsylvania, to the Johnstown area, which is just flat busted.
Right.
And they interviewed Trump voters. They interviewed a Trump voter who's a member of the Carpenters Union and a former leader of his local.
Disgusting.
And he was a big Bernie Sanders guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's 62 years old.
Mm.
So when he didn't get Bernie, he voted for Jill Stein in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well.
There's all kinds of folks in this article. There's the guy who works at a coal terminal who says that he'll have the coal business turned around in 2 weeks, maybe 2 years.
See, okay. Now, this is what I'm saying. The deep state, I told the deep state is going to take care of him, but hook or crook. It could be subtle. It could be this. It could be this. This child rape thing that he's got coming up. It could be poison. It could be a lot of things. But see, this is how we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week. You see, there's a lot of folks in D.C. They work in D.C. That's what they do. He's a part-time employee. Okay, he's trying to move the needle a little bit too far. But like you said, the problem is that he's got this following.
Well, check this out. Okay, this is a paragraph from that article.
Okay.
His disparagement of John McCain for having been captured, and this is relative to two different people, one named Del Signore and another one named Schilling. His disparagement of John McCain for having been captured, of the face of Carly Fiorina, of the looks of Ted Cruz's wife, of the Muslim Gold Star mother and father, his nonstop name-calling, his pandering Taco Bowl tweet in which he professed his affection for Hispanics, his ludicrous implication that Cruz's father was involved in the assassination of JFK. Torture works. I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose voters. Grab them by the pussy. Just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? All of that, or at least a lot of it, mattered to them, they told me. Just not enough. Not enough for them to vote for her instead of for him. Nobody's perfect, Del Signore said. Everybody makes mistakes, Schilling said, thereby, once again, putting the lie to the idea of these precious, precious, precious little Trumpansies who had no idea of all the vile, filthy shit that he said, and but knew every sleazy thing that had ever been said about Hillary Clinton, and just, you know, just voted for him because, you know, we need change. I mean, this article is absolutely full of it, of these ignorant voters, and they are ignorant. Ignorance is not an insult. Ignorance is a state of mind.
But see, there we go with the wordplay. Now, the average American, when you say ignorant, it has a negative connotation. But when in reality, it means that you haven't been exposed to maybe enough information. You know, it's neutral. It's like, okay, it wasn't your fault. You just don't know.
Here's another quote. I asked Bayich, who was wearing a hard hat and a Trump shirt, the same thing I had asked his boss. Does it make him uncomfortable that some of the supporters of the candidate he also supported are white supremacists? It's America, he said. Meaning? Well, as long as you're not a violent person, it's freedom of speech, you know? Freedom of speech? Well, I can take you out there, he said, nodding in the direction of the factory floor, and introduce you to my black friends. I've called them the N-word, and they've called me the N-word. It's reality. He asked me if anybody had ever called me that. I'm 39 and white. I told him no. He seemed surprised. You ever heard him on a rap song? I was not expecting our conversation to have gone this way, and my facial expression must have suggested as much. Bayich tried again. Ever pick up a dictionary? Read the definition of an N-word. It's an object that does work for another thing. Google it. So I Googled the word, and up onto my screen popped the definition. Noun. Offensive. A contemptuous term for a black or dark-skinned person. I slid my phone across the table. Bayich put on his industrial-strength safety glasses. Really? Are you serious? He used his fingers to scroll. I'll be damned, he said softly. You know how many times you hear that? I mean, they use the N-word more than we do, black people. It doesn't offend me, and it doesn't offend my friends, my black friends. It's just goofing around. Meanwhile, in Arkansas, Todd, economic anxiety broke out again.
Again?
Yep. More economic anxiety. A fella pulled up his truck at his place of employment, and was in the building for about 15 minutes. His car was unoccupied. Rashad Johnson came back out of the place of his employee after 15 minutes to find his entire automobile covered in spray-painted things like KKK and nigger.
Okay.
Rashad Johnson said, I just don't understand it. I don't do anything to hurt anybody. I don't go out looking for trouble. A friend who witnessed the vandalism saw two white men in a red pickup truck stop by his car and begin to vandalize it with spray paint. In addition to leaving racist graffiti, the two vandals also allegedly stole clothing and other valuables that were in the car.
So they're hooligan looters, but they happen to be looking like...
No. Since they're white people spray painting KKK in that word, they have economic anxiety. Meanwhile, More economic anxiety. Do you remember the woman in Clay County, West Virginia, Todd? The woman who posted that Michelle Obama was an ape in heels.
Oh, the monkey face. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Guess what? She's getting her job back.
Say what?
Mm-hmm. She was briefly suspended by Clay Development Corporation's board of directors. And after less than a month, she has been brought back into the fold. Because, see, not having her $83,000 a year job would bring on some real economic anxiety.
Wait a minute.
Now, here's the fun part. She became executive director of the Clay Development Corporation when the job was advertised for hiring. And the job requirement called for the development director of the Clay Development Corporation to have a bachelor's degree and 10 years of experience. Miss Taylor is a graduate of Clay County High School, and her previous occupation was cosmetologist.
Okay, what you need to do, get that drawn in gold, right? And that needs, everybody needs to hear that, because that is white privilege, all right? That's it, period. Now, a black person would have to have a goddamn PhD, you know? And then when you go to, you know, I don't know if you've been in that position where you got to go into the office and they're like, okay, so we're looking to hire you and we're in the last phase, you know, the last phase of hiring, and you have to negotiate for salary. It's very dicey. It's like a minefield. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, this woman is in charge of hiring people probably, or she has some say in it. You know,
she is in charge of distributing help to low income and elderly West Virginians in Clay County, West Virginia.
Now,
and her economic anxiety drove her to refer to Michelle Obama as an ape in heels.
Who was that named after? It couldn't be who I'm thinking of, could it?
Sure could. Henry Clay.
That's what I'm thinking, you know, good grief.
The great compromise.
So, you know, right. So, but this is what I'm saying. This guy, he is this man-child fascist weirdo with venereal disease is dismantling geopolitics as we know it. And he's just unleashed this nonsense. I mean, it was already here. You know, this nonsense was already here. It's not just him. If people didn't follow him, he wouldn't have gotten as many votes as he did. Okay? But this treacherous, treasonous activity, as you described, and it has to be, because I've been thinking about this. Remember, like when you call votes, there's a difference between what you think a popular vote is going to be and what the Electoral College is going to be. I mean, they're supposed to fall in line, but that's not necessarily true. But they're supposed to be locked in. So how did all those votes just change all of a sudden?
Economic anxiety. Like in Washington State, Todd, where Skip Edward Saunders has entered a guilty plea to making threats against a woman who was running for state legislature in that state. Skip Edward Saunders got 3 months in jail for threatening Charlene LeClaire. He told her, "Eat shit and die, you inbred piece of nigger shit." That was his first email. Okay. And later on, Saunders also told her that if Trump won, she would be going into an oven.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Ms. LeClaire is a Lummi tribal leader. Go figure.
Okay, so look, this is what.
Meanwhile, Mr. Saunders, people who know him are saying, "Well, you know, he's mentally ill, just like his mama." And Saunders is also a Native American.
You know, I was very concerned with that verdict out in the Northwest with the Bundy folks and that, you know, the pillaging of that state park.
You mean Mallor or however you pronounce it?
Yeah. I mean, like apparently these people just—I don't. This manifest destiny shit has just gotten into their. Maybe they don't even know what that means. They probably don't. I don't know. I mean, they got free shit. That's how the fuck they're out there. They got free shit. Okay. They got free shit on stolen land. So, you know. We have a long way to go, and it's going to be harder because now we got this extra fork in our groin from Trump messing up our domestic issues in addition to the geopolitical issues. You know, this is going to take decades to unravel this mess. Because even when they kill him, even when they take care of him, we got to deal with Pence and all these assholes that this guy is appointing. I mean,
when the Russians call in the number?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. See, that's right. That's exactly. See, that's all he knows. See, I mean, who the hell? Like you said, who? Who can lose money at a casino? Man, that's a gold mine. You just keep it going. You skim, you get your skim off the top and you get enough to keep you going. But he, you know, I don't know what he's thinking of. He's just a dick, man. What the fuck is wrong with him? And this I'll be in for 8 years thing. What the hell is that about? You know, his hubris is going to get the better of him. In addition to him, talking too much shit about the CIA people. Cause, you know, they don't like that. I mean, they have a limit. They don't like that. I can guarantee you, they do not like that. But at the same time, he is just all he's incompetent. So he hires a bunch of other incompetents. Like, oh, we don't, you know, ExxonMobil dude. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're a great fit. You're a great fit for this job. I said you being here. Yes, you're a go-getter. You made a lot of money. You know that's all. And then the black guy for HUD. You know he is so fucking predictable.
Oh, you mean Ben Ben Grain Silos Carson?
Yeah.
Yep. And, 4 years from now, we'll all be living in pyramids.
Well, look. You know what? I'm a little. All I can do. I'm still not in the mood to barbecue. It rained a couple times. I've never had this much wonderful wood to cook with. And Trump has just. The fascist guy has just taken my. I'm just.
You know, you
I'm
can't let him. You can't mood. Let him do that, Todd. You can't let him do that.
Well, look. And I hope it warmed up where you are. It warmed up finally here.
Well, it's more tolerable. It has been the last couple of days, but I guess the shit's going to hit the fan again. We dodged a bullet here. We didn't get all the crap that went north of us. But we're looking at, Wednesday and Thursday, the overnight lows are 15 and 10.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of shitty here.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, folks, Horn Radio, hit the PayPal.
Yeah, because we are still at $214.
Yeah, that's
the needle has not moved since the program began.
Yeah, you gotta put the bad signal out to folks who can. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I think people are depressed. It's just how can this be happening? Thinking people, sentient people. This is not who we are. You know, they need to leave. So, anyway, try to stay warm. And, you know what? We just need a big barbecue, man, and get everybody together. Because folks, they're not getting it. And this repeal of the health care as soon as you can, which they can do, is terrible.
Oh, I've seen the latest. They're hedging their bets now. They're saying, what we'll do is we'll repeal it, but we won't kick anybody off their health care for like 3 years while we come up with a new solution to that commie Obamacare. But even so, there are some Republicans going, are you out of your mind? We have to run for re-election in 2018. In the House of Representatives, and some senators, nine Republican senators. And
well, you know what?
Nah.
See, I just can't get this out of my mind right now. You really are right. Now he's Putin's puppet. See, Putin's got the dirt on everybody.
I'm the puppet. You're the puppet. I'm your puppet.
Right.
You're the puppet.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember he said it's rigged. It's rigged. He's like, if I don't win, it's rigged because. He knew it was rigged. See, this is a whole different paradigm we're in. Man, this is different.
We're through the rabbit hole. There is no normal. Remember how we spent the last 8 years under Obama talking about the new normal? There ain't no normal. At least not with this clown. I mean, You got at least one fellow traveler in Rex Tillerson. You probably got another in Trump himself. What else? You got a guy who'll head the Department of Labor who doesn't even believe in the minimum wage. He thinks it's an article of faith that he could believe in or not. Then you got the Pruitt clown from Oklahoma who doesn't believe in climate change.
And you know what? It's like an alt comic book. It's like what?
And I mean, you got Elaine Chao going into transportation when she was Bush's labor secretary. The EEOC and the NLRB just stopped working.
Oh, okay. I have one question.
And then, as far as draining the swamp is concerned, as I've said before, it turns out the swamp drain is plugged up with a Mnuchin.
Oh my God! Oh, can you?
What's the count now? Three, four Goldman Sachs. It must feel really funny for all those precious little Sparkle Pony Stein voters who spent so many months screaming, "Ooh, goddamn Hillary Goldman Sachs, motherfuck!" To watch at least four Goldman Sachs. Let's see, there's Cohn and Mnuchin and the Bannon, and there's one more Goldman Sachs turd in the punch bowl, but I can't remember offhand.
Bennett
has... Oh, but goddamn Hillary Goldman Sachs! Fuck! Sorry.
You know what? And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Number one, Bannon has that extra racist season, you know, that special sauce, that racism sauce, right? And, you know, so he's made... It's just disgusting. But see, I think when people talk about what happened with that recession that we had, depression, was really what it was, in a way, remember, you know, Trump is part of that because the government was pressuring real estate folks, like, you know, redlining has gone on too long and discrimination, you know, folks who can even afford to get houses, you're not giving them loans. So I think that was just a mean trick. And they were like, okay, you want to keep fucking with us? Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to open the gates. And then we're not going to tell you this, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to make derivatives. And then you won't fuck with us anymore, and you'll still get fucked, and we'll still get paid. Because remember, Trump, I don't think it was actually redlining, like, per se. Like, for the
look, he didn't get busted. He didn't get busted once. He got busted twice. Okay, for refusing to rent to people of color. And there's a, right. there's a little offshoot here that I just want to remind people of, if I could. My senator, Joe Manchin, who is proving himself to be a straight-up quisling, Joe Manchin stopped a qualified nominee to be the head of the DOJ Civil Rights Division from being the head of the DOJ Civil Rights Division because he was upset because when he worked for the NAACP, he worked on a death penalty brief representing Mumia. Okay?
You mean my dude, Mumia Abdul-Jamal?
The very one. And so Joe Manchin said that did not, that disqualified the man from heading the DOJ Civil Rights Division. No. I wonder how Joe would respond if Joe knew, and Joe doesn't know because there's very goddamn little on this planet that Joe does know besides the size of his own fucking bank account and that of his precious daughter Heather over at Mylan Pharmaceuticals.
God.
I wonder how Joe would respond if he knew that when Donald Trump got sued for refusing to rent to black people, that he lawyered up instead of entering an easy consent decree saying, okay, I'll quit doing that. I'll play by the law now. Wouldn't have cost him a goddamn nickel in legal fees, but instead he lawyered up. Do you know who he hired for his lawyer, Todd?
I have no idea.
Roy Cohn.
A dick?
Roy Cohn, McCarthy's lawyer. Roy Cohn, the commie witch hunter. Roy Cohn, who died of HIV and was a brutal, brutal oppressor of human beings. But I'm sure that'd be just fine with Joe. As long as he didn't say that maybe Mumia Abdul-Jamal shouldn't be drawn and quartered and have his guts stretched from San Francisco to Jacksonville, Florida.
No. I just want to say one thing, because that's where I grew up, as a young teenager, young person. Mumia Abdul-Jamal, there's a station, WDAS, in Philadelphia. That was the quote-unquote black station in Philly. That was where, you know, you could hear your disco, blah, 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 you know, your music. Now, for all the young people in the Philadelphia area, he would do the news. And I can remember him right now, Mumia Abdul-Jamal reporting for WDAS. That was his thing. That's what he did. And you know what he would do? He had a scanner. Because remember, this is the Rizzo days. Like, people don't know what I'm talking about. Frank Rizzo was a real racist kind of law and order, like Trump is talking. He was that type of mayor. Okay? And Mumia had been a member of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. But he was also a very credible journalist. And when that thing happened with his brother in the cab and all that. See, they were out to get him anyway because he was reporting off all the police misconduct in Philadelphia, because he would have the scanner and he would just take it upon himself and report, you know. And because remember, Rizzo rose up from being a beat cop from South Philly to being...
No, he was a thug, right?
Right. He was a big-ass thug to being the mayor, yeah. But, you know, some people like him, some people, you know, he was a hard-ass. You know, he made them strip in front of everybody back when the cops weren't even doing this shit then. He made people strip down to nothing. Strip search people before that shit was even popular. I mean, he was a thug. He was a big guy. They call him Big Frank. There's a statue of him right in front of the municipal building. But what I'm saying is that there's a lot that people don't know behind that whole case. Like they wanted him dead because he was tough.
No. They just want him dead, and that's all there is to it.
That's it. And you know, Bob, man, you spoke a lot tonight. Yeah, I hope folks can hear your broadcast from tonight because you connected data points. I mean, and I know you probably should think about it. I mean, you know, I think all of us, a lot of us, probably suspect it, but. He just tied it all in. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. You know, and people better wake up. And I don't know. When does he vote? When does he, like, tour college vote?
Oh, the 19th.
Okay. Because, and I don't even know, like, you know, we can't be like one of those other countries where everything's in turmoil, but I this guy, he's got to go. It's just too much. You know, Pence is disgusting, but at least he's a politician. You know, this guy, he's the holder. We can't have this.
Well, remember during the vice presidential pageant, Pence at least said that he was not in favor of playing footsie with the Russians.
Yep.
Dad, what does that mean? I don't know. You know, I'm nonviolent and I'm not a hawk. And yeah, sure. We've messed around in some other people's elections. Oh, we've messed around big time. We got blood all over our hands.
We do. Of course we do. Look at Central America.
Right? And okay, so I'm sure somebody out there is arguing, well, you know, the chickens have come home to roost. Maybe they have. But you know what? Even if that's the case, that does not create in us an obligation to go along with it. Because they didn't come home to roost on you, Todd, and they didn't come home to roost on me, and they didn't come home to roost on the Horn Family Community Congregation. Because we're the people who object to that kind of thing. We're the people who object to people being thrown out of airplanes and massacred in soccer stadiums in Santiago, Chile.
Pinochet.
We object to that shit.
Exactly. Bob, keep doing what you're doing.
Gonna try, Todd. Listen, you can't, it's like Tracy said, you cannot let these people steal your happiness. So get out there, fire up the smoker, find something on manager's special that just looks like a gift from the gods themselves, and post some food porn pictures on the Horn page.
Okay, I'll try.
You can do this. Hey, look, right. we got to sustain our under the best or worst of circumstances. We have to sustain ourselves through this. The resistance cannot run on fury alone. There must be some joy in the struggle. We cannot forget. We dare not forget how to laugh, how to smile, how to hug, how to lift each other up. If anything, we can take that lesson from Standing Rock. God damn, they got hosed down with pepper spray.
Okay?
They got concussion grenades thrown directly at them. They got hosed down with water cannons in sub-freezing weather.
What is wrong with these people?
But they maintained their dignity and their joy.
You know what?
Oh, and by the way, I need a mailing address from you because Jen just reminded me she's got a book wrapped up and ready to go and ready to send to you.
I will notify you with my new email, and I will send it to you, and we'll work out.
Yeah, I need a physical mailing address, please.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll get it.
Todd, you take it easy. It's good to talk to you, my friend.
You too.
Smile. Hey. Laugh, brother. Laugh. Remember the name of the rose? Remember that movie? Remember that book?
No.
It was all about trying to destroy laughter. Go rent it. Watch it. Sean Connery and a very young Christian Slater. It's worth your time. The Name of the Rose.
I'll check it out.
All right. See you, Todd. Take care, my friend.
Okay. You too, buddy.
Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, and by the way, since the program began, we have had one tick of the needle. Thank you very much, Rob. Thank you, Rob, very kindly. We have $204 to raise to keep from diving into a great big giant hole by this time tomorrow night. Note coming in from Keith. Keith says, subject line, we're in trouble. Help us, Obi-Wan Bob Kenobi. I don't think I merit that, but we're being taken over by an alien. The alien is orange and has a smooth coat tribble on his head. It seems that he and his advisors are using some sort of mind-altering ray on the people of the country. Yeah, it's their economic anxiety ray. Oops, sorry to mix movie references. The shit is really starting to get deep, and he's not even in office yet. It terrifies me to think about the future of this country. I look at my grandson and get cold chills when I think about his future. We must turn the tables on the orange menace and do to him what they wanted to do to President Obama. Now more than ever, resistance is the call. Thanks, Bob, to you, Dr. Bill, Boss Man Wayne, and the entire Horn family. This program is a beacon in the media wilderness. Thanks, Keith. Thank you, Keith. That is kind past kind, and I do appreciate it. Meanwhile, from Ron and Raleigh. Hey, Bob, last week you regaled us with a story about an episode of The Rifleman in which Sheriff Micah showed up with the snot beat out of him. You never finished telling us why the good sheriff caught the beat down, and did those swarthy Eastern Europeans have anything to do with it? I really need to know. P.S. So that's who beat my who's. Damn. Yeah, the gang from across the mountains. That was us. I can't tell you, Ron, because we had to leave the doctor's office. And I haven't had time since to go and find the episode. But oh, they were swarthy. They were swarthy, Ron. Very, very swarthy, with funny hats. Almost as funny as the llamas with hats. Devin says, lift each other up. That's rich coming from you, since you spent the last several months curb stomping anyone to your left. Well, no, I haven't. I haven't curb-stomped anybody, Devin. But I did lose patience for people who didn't understand that it's a two-party system and that only one of two people was going to win. But if that's what qualifies as curb-stomping, okay. But, hey, I'll lift you up, too. I want you to be happy. I want us to maintain our happiness because now that we've been thrust into this situation, Devin, we all have to be part of the resistance. I mean, we don't have to be. There's always collaboration. I don't think you're that. I don't think you're a collaborator, though, Devin. I don't think that at all. But, no. We can't let people steal our happiness. As Jen says, really, curb stomping anybody to my left? There's not anybody to my left. I'm as left as you can get. But I do actually recognize what planet I live on and what country on what planet. I don't think that somebody who commands the passions of 1% of the electorate can ever have a chance to do anything but harm. And, oddly enough, I was proven correct. Oopsie. Jen says, yes, cook, Todd. Don't let him take the food. I'm baking a pie right now. Like a shark, must move forward or pie. LOL. After reading a good piece, I have a soft spot for Garrison Keillor, despite his occasional white privilege slip-ups. He's one of my homesickness cures. Because of the quote below. And because when a wayward American cracks open a book of Keillor essays, instantly the fresh out of the oven apple pie wafts, complete with Wisconsin cheese, bubbling crisp on top, and makes her want to strap onto a Harley in search of the nearest prairie. Keillor wrote, he will never be my president because he doesn't read books, can't write more than a sentence or two at a time, has no strong loyalties beyond himself, is more insular than any New Yorker I ever knew, and because I don't see anything admirable or honorable about him. This sets him apart from other politicians. The disaffected white blue-collar workers elected a Fifth Avenue tycoon to rescue them from the elitists. Fine, I get that. But they could have chosen a better person, a better tycoon, one who served in the military or attends church or reads history, loves opera, sails a boat, something, anything. Raises llamas with hats. That's me. Carl plays the oboe, runs a 5K race now and then, has close friends from childhood. I look at him, and there's nothing there. Nothing there. Nothing there. But over on the Skype line, there's somebody there. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob.
How in the world are you?
Cooking. Well, not right now. Speaking of food, so my son and his best friend, Josh, see, he can run for president. He has a childhood friend. They've been friends since high school.
See?
And they've been friends. See?
Yeah, he's going to have to work on that oboe. He's going to have to work on that oboe, Tracy.
He plays the sax.
Damn, we're getting close. Let's see, where is he on Love's Opera and Sails a Boat?
He likes opera, never sailed a boat.
Okay, but has he ever at least petted a llama, maybe at a petting zoo or something?
Yes.
Well, hell, we're there.
Exactly. And he can cook. So him and his best friend, they went to the local Hispanic market. And yes, because we were doing that, what do we have for dinner thing? So him and his buddy went and got, you know, the already marinated carne asada and chicken. And then we have fresh tortillas that were, you know, made right there in the market.
Do you have any idea what time this program closes and what else closes when this program closes, Tracy? Dadgummit. You're 3 hours behind me. You can do something about this. Me, 9 o'clock rolls around, where the tourism season's over, and that means I got Bojangles, I got maybe Arby's, I got McDonald's, and I got Wendy's, and Taco Hell, and Sheetz, which is a convenience store where they'll microwave you a hamburger or microwave you a pizza.
Ooh. And you're
calling in to tell me about carne asada.
With fresh homemade tortillas.
You know what?
Made that day.
You know what? You're mean.
No, you said about not letting them. Who said that? Was that Jen about not letting them steal our food, man?
Jen said that. Yeah, can't let them have the food.
How you gonna yell at me about that? But you don't yell at her about the pie. See, wait. I'm hearing that white privilege thing. You yell at the black woman.
Busted. About talking about damn it. Food. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
You didn't go on a tirade, because I know how you love you some pie. So you didn't go on a tirade. Oh, Jen, how the hell are you going to write about apple pie and all this and Wisconsin's chopped cheddar cheese? And the only thing I have is this blah, 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 Bojangles and all that bullshit. The black woman called. And then you go off on me
No, I'm stone cold busted. I have earned whatever is coming.
y'all see, cause see.
No, just cut straight to the damn shrimp taco, Tracy. Just do it.
No, there's a place called Hiccups, and they make these popcorn chicken bites that are this size, and they just put them in like a cone thing, and you just pop them in your mouth, and you don't even realize that you've eaten 20. I'm making a list of all the places I'm going to take you when you bring your happy little lily white ass out here.
And it is. But not that you'll ever know, but it is.
It is, you know.
Glows in the damn dark.
I'm so happy. That so tickled me when the woman, Merry Christmas. So you're like, bitch, I'm Jewish. Well, you didn't say, bitch, I'm Jewish.
No.
I would have said, bitch, I'm Jewish.
Well, I'm just going to have to create my own little advent calendar, and it's just going to say Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Baha'i.
Hindu, you know.
Shinto, you know.
So I had what could have turned into a terrified, well, so Friday, I was on my way to Palm Springs. And on the way, because, you know, I'm Tracy, I crossed over the double yellow lines and I got pulled over. Now, this is the first ticket.
Oh, wait, time out. I got to ask a question. You crossed over the double yellow line. Were you in a curve of any sort?
No. I was trying.
Tim's real good at this. Tim from LA is very good at this. He's not in the room or anything right now, but Tim's very good at this. I want you to look up the left of center law for whatever state it was you were in.
California. Where else would I be?
Oh, okay. You said Palm Springs. Right. I don't know. Yeah, that little nubbin of Minnesota that sticks down into you may have been crossing through that. But
okay.
But,
yeah.
But anyway, I want you to look up the left of center statute for California. I don't know it. But you might find that, and this is something that I learned years ago, maybe it's been corrected in West Virginia or fixed or whatever. Left of center is a viable charge in a mountainous state. Because, you know, if you're driving left of center on a blind curve, you can get dead in a real hurry and as a complete surprise.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine.
Okay. But it's funny because that's the way the left of center statute at least used to read. It's goes left of center in a curve where visibility is obstructed or blind curve, some kind of language like that.
Oh.
But cops use it all the time. Oh, he went left of center. And if you do that on a piece of straight road, I mean, I watched a guy get out of the charge, and it was kind of important because other things flowed out of that.
Yeah. No, I can't use that one because I was on the freeway and I was crossing into the carpool lane too. It was the entrance was right there, but I was being impatient. And I was behind an asshole that was probably texting, and I was trying to get around that asshole. I went over the double solid yellow. The double line, but only thing I could think of when I'm being pulled over. Now, I haven't been pulled over, haven't had a ticket in 10 years. So that's to say I haven't been pulled over since, you know, it was scary to be, it's already been scary to be black, but you know, I haven't been pulled over since, you know, people started being shot for being pulled over. You know, the worst that should happen to me if I've ever been pulled over by a cop is I get a ticket, or worse, my car gets towed because, you know, my plates or, you know, my registration or what have you. I'm not, whatever the case may be, but whatever the case is, I'm after whatever happens, I'm still alive. So the CHP guy pulls me over, and I wasn't scared. A calm actually came over me, Bob. I was like, nothing is going to happen to me. first of all, I had Will in the car, so I had the white kid in the car. So I'm pretty sure that probably saved my life as well. But he, you know, he's like, do you realize what you did? I'm like, yeah. I went over the double, you know, the yellow line. I was wrong. I'm just now waiting for my ticket. You know, I handed him over my registration and my license and my insurance.
Did he tell you have a good day when he was done?
Well, actually, I told him to have a good day. I told him to be careful because I didn't even realize that I was no longer in L.A. County. I was in San Bernardino County, and it was just right up the anniversary.
San Bernardino, yes, San Bernardino.
Yeah, after the attacks, I won't call it terrorist. I just refuse to call them terrorist attacks. I just say attacks in San Bernardino. And he had the black, you know, ribbon across his badge. And I said, well, he's like, well, you need to be, you know, and he was actually really cool. He could have done so many more things, but he just wrote me up for going over, you know, he could have got me for carpool violation.
Yeah, you know, he just wrote you for left of center, and that's only going to cost you $1,200 in California, right?
Actually, I don't know. This is how long it's been since I've gotten a ticket, Bob. They actually, okay, honey, you can't just sit here. You have to move. I have no idea because the last time I actually got a moving violation, they still wrote them out on paper tickets. Now it's all on a handheld computer.
Oh, that's inspiring. Yeah, that's inspiring. Hey, you know what? You know what happens when you food porn here? People mail in food porn.
Right.
Keith just sent me I mean, it's gotten to the point where they're pictures now. I just got an email from Keith that said, this is called the Q-Zilla. It is sliced brisket, then sausage, then chopped brisket, topped with pickle and onion, all with homemade barbecue sauce. And you want to talk about something that just looks like food obscene. Oh. By the way, Summer hasn't even, note coming in from Robert in Australia. I was belly aching about the 10 or 15 degrees I'm going to get here in a couple of days. Robert in Australia, and you know, just in case you think you might be a little hot or uncomfortable there in L.A., it's not quite summer yet in Australia. Good, oh, you know, 8 days or so before it's really summer. And Robert says, it's 99 degrees Fahrenheit here in Sydney, Australia. Looks like it's going to be a warm summer. Yeah, that's like having, you know, 99 degrees in late May. It's a little nervous-making. You still with us, Tracy?
I think I lost you.
No, you're here.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, so, no, it was surreal because the guy gave me a ticket. I went all about my way. The only thing I could think about was what could have happened had he been an absolute asshole, had he been a member of the KKK, had Will not been in the car with me. I shouldn't have to think about that.
You
shit,
should not.
I mean, the only thing I should have to think about was, like, I fucked up. I deserve a ticket. You know, it's like one of those things.
Right. So instead, you tell him to have a nice day as shorthand for, you know, your internal monologue, which is, thanks for not murdering me.
Right. Right. That's exactly. And it's like, thank you for giving me my ticket, and I'm alive. I shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't. But, and
that kind of shit.
And
period.
But, so I mean, and that's one of those things where we're a little short on time, Tracy. But that's one of those things. If we just inaugurate the orange nightmare, will the economically anxious just settle down and stop spray painting KKK on black people's cars?
No.
I mean, this has all been an 8-year-long temper tantrum by the alt-white over the fact that there was a black man in their white house.
Right.
Now that there's an orange man in their White House, will they just settle down? I mean, I'd like to hope so, but I don't. I'm with you. I don't necessarily think so. I mean,
no. I think it's going to be worse. You know what I think is going to happen? What's going to be scary, Bob? Is say for some of whatever crazy ass reason that the gods, the virus, you know, say, okay, you know what? We fucked with these people long enough. We're not going to let him be president. And the Electoral College says, hell to the fucking nah. He's a danger. Say that I fear more for what would happen to this country if we got to that, where if they did not elect him president.
Well, okay, here's the question. With not necessarily an appropriate amount of time in which to consider it, what happens if it turns out that we find out that he really is, as I think he is, a Russian asset? What if he was put into the presidency specifically to do the bidding of Mother Russia?
Mm-hmm.
What if the government, by some miracle, takes the necessary constitutional steps to remove him from office? What will the Trumpanzees do then?
That's what I'm saying. So we have two scenarios that could actually might happen. The Electoral College says, okay, there's no way he is not going to be elected. We can't, you know, we have those nine.
Yeah, we're clinging to afraid skein on a spider's web on that one.
Okay, fine. Give me.
I'm sorry.
And then there's, like you said, we already get it, but if enough people say, wait a minute, this motherfucker is. Agent. He's a spy. He's a plant. He's the Americans with a K.
Three Ks.
Three Ks. Oh yes, because of the triple of KKK.
America.
And all that. K-K-K-K. So we got the Nazi part, the white supremacist Nazis, and Vladimir Putin running this country. My fucking God. Along with the asshole that's running around saying that there's no such thing as Santa Claus.
Yeah, he's a dick. And yeah, like I was going to say a minute ago, as I alluded to earlier, thanks, Twitter. Thanks so much for allowing a neo-Nazi back onto your platform. Gosh, how can we ever express our gratitude enough? Because we don't have enough of them on Twitter. There just aren't enough.
We don't have enough of them. Like the bitch that said that Michelle Obama looked like an ape in heels. She got her job back.
$83,000 a year.
Now, see, I know $83,000 a year, you can still live pretty well in L.A. I can only imagine what it's like in West Virginia.
You are cutting a fine hog, $83,000 in Clay, West Virginia.
Are you pissing in high cotton?
Oh, fluffy on your buttocks.
Hey, see, and now see. This is what happens when I call in late. So now I gotta go because throw in a $20 challenge for this for good measure, because I know that's not gonna really touch what's happening, but it at least will put a bit of a dent in it.
Well, I appreciate it very, very kindly. We'll get out of here, and hopefully someone will respond to your $20 challenge, lickety-split, and I feel kind of bad about it because I know you got a ticket to pay. You sure you want to do that?
Oh, honey, look, you know what? I got a side hustle. I'll be $20 is not going to make or break me. You need it more than I do at this point. I promise you that.
Well, thank you, Tracy. Thank you very kindly, dear. And I hope the ticket is not as painful as I figure California ticket's going to be.
Please don't. And I'm yelling at Todd, don't let them steal your food, brother. Come on now, barbecue.
Fire up the smoker.
Fire it up. Fire in the hole.
Tracy, you take care, dear.
You too, my love.
Bye now.
Good night.
And we're out of here. Thank you, Fab. Thank you very, very kindly for saving us from being in a hole this evening. That was tremendous. That was tremendous indeed. And let's see. We also had some other help as well. Thank you very kindly, Leola, for jumping in. Thank you very much. Thank you for the challenge, Tracy. Hopefully somebody will meet that. And we're okay to start Titanic Tuesday tomorrow. Thank you very kindly. Time to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Titanic Tuesday. And the way things are turning now, God only knows what'll be going on by then. Jesus, by then, Trump may have one of those funny-looking hats on his head. Oy. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the people at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.